ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वसुदेवाय। नारायणं नमस्कृत्याम् नरं चैव नरोत्तमं देवीं सरस्वतीं व्यासां ततो जयामुदीरये। Reading Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, Prahlada pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text number 23. Drishta Maya Divi Vibho Akhiladhishnyapanam Ayuhu Shriyaha Vibhavaha Ichhati Yam Janaha Ayam Ye Asmat Pituhu Kupitahasa Vijrimbhita Bhru Vispurjitena Lulitaha Saha Tu Te Nirastaha Drishta maya divi vibho kila dhishnyapanam. Drishta maya divi vibho kila dhishnyapanam. Ayushriyo vibhava icchati yanjanoyam. Ayushriyo vibhava icchati yanjanoyam. Yasmat pituh kupitahasa vijrimbita bru. Yasmat pituh kupitahasa vijrimbita bru. Vispurjitena lulitah satute nirasta. Drishtaha have been seen. Maya, by me, Divi, in the higher planetary systems. Vibho, O my Lord, Akila, all. Dishnyapanam, the chiefs of different states or planets. Ayuhu, the duration of life. Shriya, the opulences. Vibhavaha, glories, influence. Ichhati, desire. Yan, all of which. Janahayam, these people in general. Ye, all of which. Duration of life, opulence, etc. Asmat pituhu of our father Hiranyakashipu Kupitahasa by his critical laughing when angry. Vijrimbita being expanded. Bru of the eyebrows. Vispurjitena, simply by the feature. Lulitaha, pulled down or finished. Saha, he, my father. Tu, but. Te, by you. Nirastaha, completely vanquished. translation. My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary system. For a long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all of this through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. Within this material world, one should understand by practical experience the value of material opulence, longevity, and influence. We have actual experience that even on this planet, there have been many great politicians and military commanders like Napoleon, Hitler, Subhash Chandra Bose, and Gandhi. But as soon as their lives were finished, their popularity, influence, and everything else were finished also. Prahlada Maharaja formally gathered the same experience by seeing the activities of Hiranyakashipu, his great father. Therefore, Prahlada Maharaja did not give any importance to anything in this material world. No one can maintain his body or material achievements forever. A Vaishnava can understand that nothing within this world, not even that which is powerful, opulent, or influential, can endure. At any time, such things may be vanquished. And who can vanquish them? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should conclusively understand that no one is greater than the Supreme Great. Since the Supreme Great demands Sarva Dharman Parityaja Mamekam Saranam Raja, every intelligent man must agree to this proposal. One must surrender unto the Lord to be saved from the wheel of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. Srila Prabhupada ki Tristamaya divi vibhokila dishnyapanam Mayushriyo vibhavai chati yanmayo yachanoyam Yasmat pituh kupita hasta vishrimbita bru Vispurjite nalulita satute nirasta. My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary system for long duration of life, opulence and enjoyment. But I have seen all of this through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prishtaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Tinamini Namaste Sarasvati Devi Goravani Pracharini Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatta Desha Tarini Vancha Kalpataru Vyascha Kripa Sindhu Vyavacha Patitanam Pavani Vyo Vaishnave Vyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nitananda Shri Advaita Gadatara Shivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare. So Prabhupada is explaining this verse or starts explaining this verse by explaining the word drishta. Drishtaha, which means I have seen it with my own eyes. Prahlada Maharaj starts his prayers to Hiranyakashipu by saying that I have seen that all these goals which human beings are so anxiously desire to achieve are useless. And I've seen it with my own eyes because I've seen the example of Hiranyakashipu in front of me. Who could be more powerful than him? Who can have longer duration of life or can have more opulence? So Prabhupada is stressing this, and he is giving the example from our own history, saying that Napoleon, Hitler, so many other great leaders were there, and they were all vanquished. So why people are so mad? By struggling or fighting after achieving these goals. If all these goals prove to be again and again useless. So many examples are there in the history of the human society that people were opulent, people were powerful, people were very long-lived, but still they were not happy. Somehow or other this illusion is there, and even our practical experience is not strong enough to prove the opposite. And therefore, despite of our experience, we still strive for this. We still try to find the meaning of this. We still try to somehow or other, we still value these things. Basically, Prahlad Maharaj is saying that these three things, Ayu, Shriyaha, and Vaibhava or Vibhava, is very, very valuable in the human society. Everyone is trying to prolong his life. By all means, by hook and by crook, by inventing different medicines, different things, you know, everyone wants to live long. But the problem is this, is that nobody lives long enough. Because no matter how long you live, you're still attached to the same life. And moreover, the longer you live, the shorter your life becomes. Because when you live long, psychologically, the time becomes faster and faster and faster. When you are young, the life is very long. But when you are older, the life, you know, the years just, you know, they just, they just, you know, run. And you don't know what's happening with them. And you are never satisfied, no matter how long your life is. Because the desires are as strong in the old age as they are in the young age. There is a Sanskrit saying, which I don't remember exactly how it sounds in Sanskrit, but it is said that somebody is lamenting, you know, I lost everything. I lost my teeth and I lost my hairs and my hairs are gray and I lost my power of digestion. Everything is diminished. The power of my eyesight, the power of my, you know, taste and everything, but the desire are as strong as usually. Everything else is diminished by power, but the power of desire is the same in the old age. And therefore, in the old age, one is never satisfied, one is never satiated, so to speak. Because the desires cannot be satiated no matter how much you try to do it. And therefore, Ayu is not such a big thing. Shukadev Goswami in the beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam says one can live for many, many years, for hundreds of years, but what is the use? If one is not really getting the meaning of life, and people are used to live this useless life, which is just experience of the same thing. Experience, punas punas charvita charvananam, just chewing the same thing again and again and again. And therefore Prahlad Maharaj says this is not very valuable. Ayu is not the value. It's not something which we should strive for, because this is, first of all, it's predetermined anyway. First of all, nobody can cheat the Supreme Lord. You will die when you're supposed to die. Chanakya Pandit also says that there are five things which are definitely predetermined. And one of them is the duration of your life. He says that you can see it on the forehead of the human being. If you have a certain mystical vision, or if you can read the karma, because the karma is there on the forehead, and you can see, this guy will live, you know, for 2 more years, or 5 more years. And no matter what you do, you cannot really change it. It's within the stars, you know, the very powerful Rahu will come in a very appropriate moment of your life when you're most attached to your life and says, okay, it's finished. So Prahlad Maharaj says, this is not the value. This is not something which you should strive for because it's useless. And then he says, Ayuk Shriyaha. Shriyaha means opulence. And opulence means also temporary. Prabhupada says, No matter what you have in this material world, it will be finished at one point, sooner or later. You may have so much opulence, but and opulence is a very valuable thing in one sense, but you will leave everything behind. Alexander the Great, the greatest conqueror of the world, he died very young. He was 20-something, 28 years old or something like this, very young. And in the meantime, he conquered over the whole world. So when he was about to die, he said to his associates, please, when you take me to the graveyard, stretch my hands like this. And they asked, my dear king, why do you want the hands to be like this in this position? Because usually they put hands like this in a very humble way of the dead body. And he said, so that everyone would see that I'm going to the graveyard empty-handed. So nobody would be in this illusion that he is such an opulent person and he is taking something with him. You cannot take anything with you, you know. I mean, we Hare Krishnas know this, but but still we are attached. Still, even being Hare Krishnas, because these desires are very psychologically strong, and we all want to have these things, even though we know, theoretically we know this is useless, but still we want these useless things. And then he says, vibhava, vibhava means influence or power, and that's another problem of the human society. We want to live, we want to enjoy life, we want happiness in this life or opulence in this life, and we want power. And they say that power, the desire for power, is even stronger than desire for happiness. Successively, there were three psychologists in the very powerful psychological school of Austria, of Vienna. And the first one was, of course, Freud. And he was the first one, and he said that the most powerful desire, the most powerful impetus, he basically interpreted the whole human existence in terms of sexual desire. And everyone was very happy when they heard this, you know. Finally, somebody is honest enough to say that this is the meaning of life, you know. We live just to satisfy or gratify our senses or sexual desire. And he explained everything. He said this is the main impetus for life. You want to enjoy sex. But then, after him, his successor was a psychologist, very famous psychologist, Adler. And he said, no, Freud is wrong. Sexual desire is very strong, there is no doubt about it, he said. But even more powerful is desire to get power. Even stronger the desire for people to rule over or to control others. And we can see, because actually the sexual desire is just a manifestation of the same, very same desire to control others. It's just a very subtle, very gross, very gross manifestation of our desire to control others. And Adler said that actually even stronger for the human being is to desire to get the power. And he explained it, so many examples he gave, that there are so many people who are even neglecting sexual desire, but still they cannot neglect or they cannot really control the desire to control. Like, for example, Stalin, who was the greatest dictator in the world, and he was not, he was quite restrained, so to speak, but he had this mad desire to control others. Because this is even a greater enjoyment in the world. Sexual desire is definitely, or sex is definitely a very great enjoyment, but the experience of controlling others is greater. Therefore, Adler says that even greater is impetus to have the power. But then the next one in this Austrian school of psychology was Frankl. And Frankl, he came after Freud and Adler, and he said, this is all okay, what you say. This is all true. There is this desire for sex, and there is this desire for power. But he said,
even greater in a human being, in the heart of the human being, is desire for the meaning of life. He was the most intelligent of all three because he said that people are the deep down desire, the greatest desire for human being, and the desire which have to be fulfilled in our human existence is desire for meaning. And if our existence is meaningless, that is, no matter how much sex we have, no matter how much power we have, if there is no internal meaning of everything, if there is nobody, and basically meaning means that the sexual desire is not in itself. It's not self-sufficient, so to speak. Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Shri Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gornitaya ki jai. He said, and this is again very important, that the human being, because he said that the human beings cannot be happy unless their life is full of meaning. And full of meaning means that even if you have fulfilled your sexual desire, even if you have fulfilled all other desires, you still have to have higher meaning. In other words, you have to offer whatever you achieve to somebody. Meaning, and that is explained by Ramanuja Acharya, who is even deeper in his understanding of the human nature. Because ultimately all this Western stuff is quite superficial. The deeper understanding of human nature or human psychology, much deeper understanding, is there in the Vedic literature, and the great acharyas, they explain this. And one of the very essential points of Ramanuja's philosophy, which is carried over in our Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya, is the understanding of Sheshatva. Sheshatva means Shesha means how you say the Shesha means the limit, and Shesha means the remainder, or how you say remainder or reminder, not reminder, remain, something which remains. And he says that Sheshatva, by explaining the nature of the limited soul. He says the limited soul, the human soul, Jivatma, has the nature of Shesh. Shesh means it's limited. And being limited, limited means, in this particular sense, is that the soul, limitation of the soul is that the soul is not for itself, for himself. The only one who is for himself is the Lord, because he's unlimited. Here, Prahlad Maharaj calls him Vibhu. And Vibhu means unlimited. Vibhu means great. And the soul means Anu, and Anu means Shesha. Shesha means we cannot be happy when we are living for ourselves. Because our deeper internal nature is not, we are not meant to live for ourselves. We are not for ourselves. We are not self-sufficient, so to speak. The Lord can be very happy when he fulfills all his desires, because this is his nature. His Vibhu. Vibhu means the one who is fulfilling all his desires, and this is the meaning of his life. The meaning of his life is to fulfill his desires. But when we try to imitate the Lord, because we have the completely different nature, because our nature is limited, and when we try to live only for ourselves, when we only try to fulfill our own desires, we can never be happy. Because this goes against our nature. This is contrary to our nature. Because we are not for ourselves. We are for him. He is for himself and we are for him. The meaning of our life, which is the impetus, the greatest impetus, according even to Western psychology, of the human being, is to find the object for whom to live. This is what, of course, Srila Prabhupada explains in his introduction to Bhagavad Gita. He says that our dharma is to serve. He's explaining the same, basically the same thing. When we try to live for ourselves without serving, without, without having the object of the service, then it's useless. It's totally useless. You know. I recently visited one devotee in Moscow, and he lives in a flat, an apartment. Next to him, when I entered his door, it's a big house, and there are so many apartments there. Next to him, there is a, you know, the, when I entered, there were so many dogs were barking. And I asked, what is it all about? Why so many dogs are there? He said, there are 6 dogs living in the next apartment. There is one one room and one old lady, one room apartment. And there is one old lady lives there, and she has 6 dogs. And he said that this lady, she's very lonely, and whenever she goes out, when she sees some, you know, street dog, she takes this dog and brings it to his to her apartment. And he says that, you know, that they love each other very strongly, this lady and the dogs. When the lady goes out, the dog starts, you know, howling, you know, please don't leave us here. And the lady also, you know, she loves the dogs, they are attached. But the point is being here is that, you know, the meaning of life, the strongest impetus which is there, not the power, not the opulence, not the long life, but the object of our service. If we don't have an object of our service, our life is meaningless. If we don't have anyone to serve, it's boring. You know, especially it is very clearly seen psychologically in the people who are great achievers, so to speak. I recently spoke with one psychologist, and this psychologist told me that the most miserable people, the people who have more problems than anyone else, is the people who achieved everything in this world. Mm-hmm. They're very suicidal in their approach, because when you're not fulfilled, so to speak, when you're on the lower ranks of the society, you still have some illusion. You know, I'm striving for this and that and that. And if I achieve this opulence or this goal or that goal of my life, I will be happy. But the people who have achieved everything, who have everything, and still they have no object for their service, they don't know for what it is, they don't know how to use this, they're totally miserable. They don't know, you know, there is... So, Prahlad Maharaj here, he says that, Vibhu, you are great. You are the object of the service, because... when we don't understand this, and he says, I know it by my own experience. You know, my great father was finished by you within 1 second. Another point of this verse is, of course, the point of detachment. Prahlad Maharaj says that actually, you know, it's all useless, and you have to be detached. To be happy, you have to be detached. He's saying here that those people who are attached, they cannot be happy. It's also interesting that Gautama Rishi, who wrote Nyaya Sutra, the logical explanation of life, Nyaya. Nyaya means basically logic. He very logically, he explains the nature of human existence. And he asked, what is suffering? Yeah. Because basically, at the point of Nyaya Sutra, and any basically classical darshan, is how to achieve mukti, or the release from suffering. So he analyzes very logically the nature of the sufferings in this world, and of the miseries of this world, and he gives a list of 21 causes of sufferings. He lists 21 causes of suffering. He says the senses is the cause of suffering. The object of the senses is the cause of suffering. There is a long list of the causes of suffering. The clashes, the internal causes of sufferings, which are produced by our own karma. The clashes which are avidya, smita, raga, dvesha, abhinivesha. This is all this all produce suffering. And then he says, amazingly enough, the cause of suffering, the 20th, the number 20, not the last, but the one before the last, is sukha, which is happiness. He says, happiness is the cause of suffering. How is it so? How is it logical? And he explains that, you know, sukha is the cause of suffering because when you experience happiness in this world, enjoyment in this world, you get attached to this enjoyment. And because you get attached to this enjoyment, it becomes the cause of your suffering. It becomes the cause of your suffering when you lose it, because you're so attached to this. Krishna says this in Bhagavad Gita. Atyanta vanta kontaya dukha yehi samsparchacha boga dukha yona eva te. That one who is attached to this happiness, which is produced by the touch of the senses and the sense object, is dukha yona eva te. It's the cause of suffering. And then he says, not only this, it's the cause of suffering because sooner or later you will lose it. And it's the cause of suffering because it makes you attached to this human existence, which is full of sufferings. It makes you attached to the birth, old age and disease. Implicitly, you're attached to the suffering, to the happiness, but with this attachment to the happiness, you're attached to the being born again and again, being, you know, you're attached to the diseases which is concomitant of human existence. You're attached to old age and all this kind of stuff. So he explains that that even happiness is the cause of suffering. And Prahlad Maharaj says that the only way to be happy is to be detached. The detachment, the real happiness in this world is the detachment. The happiness of detachment or renunciation. And of course Krishna explains the same in Bhagavad Gita when he says that the last chapter is the perfection of renunciation. And the perfection of renunciation is what? Sarva dharman parityaja mamakam saranam raja. You know. The perfection of renunciation and the way to be renounced in this world, or the way to be happy in this world, is to be attached to the Supreme Lord. You have to be renounced to be happy in this world, because this is the way to be happy. You know, the one who is renounced is very happy, because he cannot care less about whatever is happening in this world. But the way to be renounced in this world is to be attached to the Supreme Lord. This is the only way to be renounced. The renunciation comes when the attachment comes, but the attachment to the proper object of our attachment. We are attached to the futile things of this world because we are unfulfilled, because we are not purna, because we are not complete. And this psychological feeling of incompleteness, which the psychologists called inferiority complex, you know, we all have this complex, you know, I am incomplete. And therefore we want this, we want this, and we think that by achieving this we will achieve the completeness. But the way to achieve the completeness is to get attached to the Supreme Lord, because when the attachment to the Supreme Lord is there, we are attached to the complete whole. Om Purnam Adaha Purnam Idam Purnat Purnam Udachyate. This Purnam, who is the Supreme Lord. And then when the attachment to the Supreme Lord is there, then with this attachment the feeling of happiness comes. Because the feeling of unhappiness is again psychological feeling of our limited nature. Baladev Vidyabhushana, in his introduction to Govinda Bhashya, in his introduction to Vedanta Sutra, explanation of Vedanta Sutra, he asked the same question, the same eternal question. What is suffering and what is happiness? And he quotes Chandogya Upanishad while explaining what is happiness. He said that happiness, by definition, means bhuma. Bhuma means unlimited. To be happy, you have to be connected with the unlimited. You have to be psychologically connected with the unlimited. Because when you are disconnected with the unlimited, when you feel your own imperfection, by being limited, by being incomplete, you cannot be happy. So this is the way, and Prahlad Maharaj says this, you know, I've seen it. This is all useless, and I want to be connected with you, and this is the way to be happy. And actually this is the crux of the issue, how to get connected to the unlimited. Yesterday I was in the airport in London, and I was sitting there, you know, trying to chant and concentrate on the holy name, and one guy approached me and he said, "Oh, you are Hare Krishna." I said, "Yes, I'm Hare Krishna. Can you tell me within 3 minutes what is it all about? You know, I want to know. please tell me, you know, I only have only few minutes so, before I go to the plane." So, and I, you know, I started, I was trying to figure out what to tell him. And I said, you know, this is religion, but it is also yoga. This is a mystical process, because you want to somehow or other intrigue somebody. This is a very mystical process, meditation and this and that. This is a very scientific process, how to get connected with the Supreme Lord. And he was somewhat interested, and he said, "So now you are connected?" He kind of confronted me with this very blunt question. "Now you are connected with him?" And I started thinking for myself, am I connected or not? Am I really connected or not? I'm kind of connected, I said. But the point here which Prahlad Maharaj makes is in this prayer is that you can understand whether you're connected or not by the feeling of your happiness. When Prabhupada said, chant and be happy, chant Hare Krishna mantra and be happy, he meant a lot. The deeper meaning of this sutra or statement is that when you are connected with the Supreme Lord through the process of chanting, which is the mystical process, but despite of our chanting, it's not automatic. The connection is not really that good, because we may be connected, but there are some kind of disturbances in the line. You know, there are some noises there. And we can see that when our consciousness is really connected with this unlimited consciousness of the Supreme Lord, we're happy. And there is no other way around. It has to be. These two things has to go together. If you are connected with the Supreme Lord, you have to manifest, visibly manifest, detachment. And with the detachment, you have to manifest happiness, because this all are the visible or practical signs of your connection. If you are connected with the Lord, you are happy by being detached. You have nothing in your life, you know, but you are happy. But if you are attached, if you are not happy, if you are still in this complexities of the human mind, it means you're not connected. It means the connection does not take place. So this is very important things. It's also explanation of Siddharaswami. Siddharaswami explaining Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, he says that that the detachment, and the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam is of course the main topic of the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, is detachment. Detachment to the to the material world by the attachment to the Lord. And he says that, you know, the happiness which comes from the attachment to the Supreme Lord can be tested by the way or the extent how you are detached from the material world. The detachment of the material world is a very important quality. And here, Prahlad Maharaj, he gives, he says in a very simple way, he says that, you know, what is the use of being attached to this world? There is no use. There is no use. It's not a fanatical kind of attitude. It's not a, you know, it's not logical. It doesn't make any sense to be attached to this world. It's just ridiculous. And he says, you know, and you are the Supreme, you are Vibhu. And you say, sarva dharman parityajam amikam saranam raja. Give up everything else. Don't be attached to anything else. And surrender unto me. This is logical. And when you do this, you get happiness, you get all your desires fulfilled, and you become very fulfilled and very happy being, very happy thing. So this is more or less the meaning here. He says, you know, everything else is illogical. The only logical thing in this world, the only reasonable thing, the only clever thing in this world is to be attached to the Supreme Lord and not to be attached to anything else. And that's what we are struggling to achieve, which is not so easy because he's so far away and all the objects of our attachment is very close to us. So, therefore it's not so easy to get attached to him. But again, he's only far away from us because our consciousness is far away from him. He is the closest friend, Suhridam Sarvabhutanam. And this is what we should try to achieve. Recently, one devotee told me his story. A very amazing story. He had some kind of criminal background before he became a devotee. He was quite, you know, because in Russia, you know, he was a businessman, and businessman in Russia more or less means criminal. It's more or less synonymous terms. So he was a businessman, means little criminal. And then, you know, of course, Krishna took everything from him, you know. Within a few months, he was very rich, very opulent, this and that. And then at one point, you know, Krishna took everything, took care of him very nicely. And he didn't have any other way out as to surrender to him. He came to the temple. But still, you know, the attachment was there because he was so attached to his former opulence, to his situation, to this and that. He was trying to be a devotee, but still the attachment was there and it was kind of struggle for him. And it's not only struggle for him, it's struggle for us as well, you know, because we're still attached to our way of life. So what happened to him, a very interesting story happened to him, which kind of was an eye-opener to him. The temple president, of course, I'm afraid to say these things in front of the communication minister of the whole ISKCON, but it still happens. The temple president told him to smuggle books within the country, outside of the border, because you know, if you do it in a legal way, then you have to pay taxes. And we are, of course, very law obedient people, but still sometimes we have to do this. The temple, knowing his background, because he was a little criminal, so the temple president told him, "You are very fit for this very important service. you have to smuggle the books, you know, through the border." And he said, "Yeah, no problem. I have my connections there. I know the ways how to do this because I used to do it. I used to smuggle different things. So better I do it. I dovetail my propensity to serve Krishna. And I will be smuggling the books through the border." So he went to this other country which produces the books, and he put a couple of tons of books, you know, thousands and thousands of books in a truck. And he went to a little village and he had his friends, and the friends knew the way through the border, how to do it. And during the night he was supposed to go through this border. And it was springtime and it was a field, because the border is like a field. And he took he had a couple of people with him, guiding him through this way. And he was driving, and in the middle of this neutral territory, neutral land between the two borders, border of one state and another state, the truck was stuck. You know, it was a field and it was mud, and it was, you know, he was trying to put but the more he was, you know, pushing, the truck was getting deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper inside. And it was, of course, it was around 2 o'clock in the morning. And around 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, all the people, you know, they would check all the borders. And he's right there in the middle of this whole thing with the truck full of Bhaktivedanta Book Trust books. And he's just there. And, you know, and he's trying and trying and trying, and everyone is cursing him, and everyone is saying, you're a useless guy, and he's cursing himself, and he's trying and trying and trying. And then they run to this village, and they find somebody else with another truck to pull this truck out from this position. And in the meantime, the truck is already sitting on the practically sitting on the mat, and the wheels are there just, you know, just uselessly rolling and rotating in an empty space. It made, you know, holes, and, you know, there is no land under the wheels, and the truck is sitting on the mat. There is no way to really do anything. So they took another truck, and another truck is, you know, trying to pull this, but there is no way. There is no way. He's just, you know, everyone is cursing him, and everyone is, and it's only half an hour before the sunrise. And during the sunrise, you know, and he's already meditating how he would be put in prison and how the whole society will be, you know, blamed for doing this illegal things. You know, he's there, and he's. And at this particular moment, which is amazing, for hours he has been trying to disentangle himself from this difficult situation, and he's, you know, he's already more or less, he's already ready to go to prison, and everyone else is cursing him and fleeing away from him, leaving him with this truck there. And he's cursing his temple president who told him this and everything else. And at this moment, and the other truck is trying to pull this, but they broke, the rope is broken, and everything is just doesn't work. Nothing works, and everyone else is going to leave him. And then, somehow or other, he says, "For the first time, I remembered about the Lord. For the first time during this whole experience, I remembered about Krishna, you know. And I started praying to him, to Lord Narasimha. He said, oh, in a very intense way, because in this situation you cannot, you know, you cannot do anything but be very intense in your prayers, you know. He's praying in a very sincere way. And then everyone else saying, you know, hell is with you, we're leaving you. And then he says, please, let us try again, just little last attempt. And they say, this is useless, it's not possible, it's just impossible. And but somehow or other they say, okay, this is the last attempt, we will try to pull you out. And, you know, a few people trying to pull this huge truck full of books, and this other truck is trying to pull, and he says, okay, this time I will pray to the Lord, and then let's see what happens. And then he starts his car, and he prays to the Lord by within his heart. And to the utter amazement of everyone, the car starts moving. It didn't move before, it didn't move, it could move, but it starts moving and moving and moving. He says, the happiness which I felt at that time is indescribable. I cannot really describe the happiness by human words, because this was amazing. You know, I could feel that at this moment I'm connected with the Lord. He hears my prayers, because there is no other way, there is no other explanation, you know. And everyone else is just cannot believe their eyes, you know. The car is moving, and it's just, it was somewhere or other pulled out from this situation and safely brought to another side of the border. And when it stopped, when they were on the safe side, so to speak, you know, the sun rose, very gracious, and, you know, this very moment, there was a question of minutes before they would be discovered and arrested and put in troubles. And he said, you know, and he said, now I'm ready to go again through this experience just to remember, you know, how happy I was, because And this particular time, I was totally, completely detached from this world. I lost all my attachment to everything which I had before. I was ready to go to prison and everything. And I was attached to my Lord. And that was amazing thing in this particular situation. So here Prahlad Maharaj, he says the same thing. Drishta, I have seen it. I know this by my own experience. Somehow or other, you know, because I know this, I'm lucky, and therefore I'm surrendering unto you. And Srila Prabhupada explains this to us as well. We know this, but still we're stupid enough to be attached again and again and again to all these things, to this Ayuh, Shriyaha, and Vaibhava, to the longevity, to the opulence, and to the power of life. Okay, thank you. Well, Pasyana Pina Pasyati, Sukadeva Goswami starts Srimad Bhagavatam saying that people, Pasyana Pi, they see Na Pasyati, but they don't see. Despite of them seeing this, they don't see. And the explanation which Acharya give of the transformational experience which the devotees have is the meeting with another devotee. The power of seeing comes for us from the seeing or experience of other devotees. When we see this, well, in case of Prahlad Maharaj, why he could see? Because he could see it through the eyes of Narada Muni. Narada Muni explained, and because he met Narada Muni, this meeting with Narada Muni gave him this power to understand, so to speak, or the power to see. Others, despite of their seeing, they don't really see because again, they still have some hope or whatever. The hope dies the last. This is a Russian saying, you know, hope dies the last. Still, they have some hope. They don't see because they have some hope for the future happiness. They see, maybe I'm not happy now, but I will be happy in the future, or this and that. But when we see somebody who is detached and at the same time happy, then we have practical experience of what it means to be happy and to be detached at the same time. We can see that this is the way to be happy. This is the only sure way to be happy. So it requires a meeting with somebody who has this deep experience, and then he can communicate this experience to us, and in this way we can see. Okay, thank you very much. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Shri Radha Madan Mohan ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shri Gurmita.